Hello, how you doing?
All right. Oh, man, you gotta get one of ours. This Janet Jackson thing, you know, it goes around your ears. But anyway, all right. I know it's Janet Jackson. Like, who is she? All right. Well, it's good to be here with you. Yes, I'm from New York. Right now, I'm pastoring in New York City, Remnant West Side. It's pretty same demographic like you here. We have a lot of young adults. We're age 26 is our medium age, and we have a lot of college students. We are ministering to four campuses, Columbia University, New York University, also Fashion School, Parsons, but also Pratt in Brooklyn. And God has been really good to us. We've been 10 years. We celebrate 10th year. It's just a miracle how God just made us survive 10 years in the city of New York. But one thing that God has been really placing on my heart and has been really challenging for me is this. You know, San Diego is, I guess, the same. New York City is a transient city. People come and go. You know, 3 years, they build their resume, boom, they're out of there. And once they go out, you know, they have a resume, they will hire you because you're from New York City, you had experience in the city. So, you know, they go with confidence. And I say, okay. So not only that, they meet their mate and they want to start the family. But it's, you know, it's really hard to raise family in city. So people tend to just go. And to be honest with you, as a senior pastor, it was hard for me to invest more because 3 years they're gone. So we only have 3 years. It's like I can't do a shotgun. You know, can't do that. You got to get that one straight bullet. Bam, I got you, suckers, you know, to make you stay, you know. And it's been a big challenge for me. So for 10 years, I got tired. I said, God, this is getting ridiculous. You know, why people come, just go. And so, you know, since like we go through, you know, we're suffering from schizophrenia. Like, gosh, it's like constant come and go. You know, when new people come, before I used to be so happy. Oh, thank you for coming. Now, like, how long are you going to stay? Let's sign the agreement right now, all right? Don't rob us away. Just, you're going to go, you get more, and then you get out of here, you know? So it's been really tough. So during that year, I said, God, then, Lord, what are we supposed to do? Of course, we are faithful to the gospel. We got to push the good news, you know? And okay, God, I know all that. Okay, thank you, Lord. Give me something else. And the Lord recently has really revealed to me, and it was very challenging, but also I know I was going to go against the grain. You know, and that is God saying, listen, I want you to move in the power. I said, God, come on. As soon as you talk about power, God, people naturally think about televangelists. Oh, God, Benny Hinn, these guys, wacky dudes, you know. And I'm like, God, this is ridiculous. Come on, Lord, give me something else. But, you know, more God revealed to me, Bruce, this is who you are. I was like, oh, okay, you're going to move in the power. And sure enough, God has, you know, convicted my heart, and I was so moved, and I said, God, this is it. Because I was really tired doing the ministry. I was really tired seeing same people, same thing. I said, God, these young professionals who are working in the corporate world, fashion design. Now, we got number one guys, Donna Karen, who is not taking our girls. They got picked as number one in their design. They're going to use her children wear as a design. Her line is going to go through Donna Karen, and so people are rising up. I'm like, I should be happy, like, yeah, you know. But I'm like, okay, she's gone soon, you know. Not only that, you know, we have guys who are right now doing hedge fund, you know, these companies, they're starting up their companies, you know, they're gone. So I was like, God, what are we supposed to do? And the Lord said, listen, son, I want you to remind them who I am, but I want you to do it with the power. And then when I was thinking about this, okay, God, then here we go. And I said, Lord, come, Holy Spirit. Now, I'm talking to young professionals who want like 1 hour exactly finish up the whole service. And not only that, 1 hour, I want 30 minutes, simple, straight to the point message, entertain my thoughts, or else I don't like you. I'm going to different churches. Now, we have a Hillsong, you know, we have a Redeemer. We have so many great churches, and here we are, small Asian American church, like, oh, please stay. You know, and we try all we can to entertain them. Like, I'm not impressed, so they're out of there. I don't like your sermon. I don't like the way you worship. I don't like the way you dress. I don't like the way you do community. Bye-bye, I'm going to a different church. So it's tough. But I say, God, okay, heck with those young adults. I love y'all. But anyway, I say, Lord, then you got to come and do something. Sure enough, God came. I want to explain details on this, but I tell you, God came and rocked the young adults. It's so fun to see. Very skeptical young adults doing this, like, I'm like, yeah, God got you, suckers. You know, I love it. I go near them and say, see, I told you, you're a fool. God loves you now. Sit down. So these things are happening. I'm not exaggerating, and I'm testifying to you right now. Karas, I tell you, if you stay in this way, you will never go, you will not get anywhere. It's the same thing. Sleep, go to work, eat, poo-poo, go to sleep, poop. You look at us like, God, is this all there is to life? I realize you, right now, God is strategically placing you a certain place in your work, in your school, and said, now, I'm calling you to usher my presence there. You're not just there to say, what can I do to get more money out of my company or climb up the ladder? If that happens, it's all God's favor. It is God who initiates. It is God who makes you there. I tell you, even your talents, your abilities, is all from God. And here we are trying to swim to make it. Well, God said, you ain't going anywhere. I'm the one who's going to place you there. And sure enough, I see miracles happening in my church beyond our intellectual paradigm or structure, whatever you want to call it. And God is moving. And I'm saying to people, and right now, you got to understand, we have a lot of MIT and Harvard guys. I hate them all. Anyway, they come to my church, and they would say, all right, help me to wrap around my head. I kid you not. I'm not exaggerating. I took my Bible and said, I'm going to wrap around your head right now. Take a look. Look at me. You know what they say? I'm offended by you, Pastor Bruce. And I would say, whatever. But you see, so I go to them and I say, listen, you will not understand because they say, God, how are you doing things? Help me to understand. And I say simply this, you don't have to understand. It's called faith. Why am I yelling here? Faith. Just take, spell faith. And sure enough, now people who are still doing this where God's moving, God is surely nudging their heart and calling them out of where they are. And I will say this to you right now. God is just calling young adults and even new college students during the time of transition. God's calling you to say, listen, I have something more. You are going to be my carrier of my presence. You're going to be a carrier of my presence. You know what that means? Folks, God says, I will provide because I am God who does not change. Dwight Holler. Oh, we're in San Diego. Amen. Listen, God doesn't change his mind. His promise, he makes promise, he keeps promise. Now, the question is, now God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make sure I provide your needs. Now, the question is, how are you going to carry this out? Not only that, San Diego, I tell you right now, I'm telling my people, I'm going to listen, as a spirit, God is moving, all right? As God is moving beyond your realm, beyond your paradigm, beyond your intellectual understanding, how all this now, the reality of so-called gospel is become more real to your face. God is saying, I don't want you to just be happy, happy people in this within the four walls. Now get out. Now go out. Now take God to your job place. Take God to wherever you go. And and God is really challenging us to do that. And you know, people, church said we need social justice. I agree. We do. But God also says in Jeremiah 29, love your city. Don't leave San Diego. Don't leave. Love your city. Do whatever you can to make city prosper because God is with you. Now, you think like, oh, just little me? Yeah, little you. I want you to know that's how I used to think when I was in the city before I planted the church. I went through a dark time. Pastor Peter knows a little story of this. I said, God, no way I can't be in the city of New York. Are you crazy? Because you want me to be a senior pastor to who? A college student? Okay, I can handle that. Just slap them around, they'll be fine. Young professional, young adults? I don't think so. Right? I was scared. Well, little me, I can't even speak English. I can't even do, Lord, I'm a fob, Lord. No way you're going to take me to here. But sure enough, God started bringing all these, you know, talking about lawyers, you know, doctors. These guys all come, you know, finance guys who are working in a hedge fund. I'm like, oh, Lord. And I tell you right now, folks, every single day I was so small before these people. But finally God says, Bruce, stand up. I made you. I called you. Therefore now, as you preach, as you look at them face, you don't go, oh, excuse me, I'm small. Stand tall. Not out of arrogance, but stand tall because I place you there and you're going to move. And right now, I'm saying, welcome, Lord. And so the Lord, as Spirit of God moves, we say, hey, we'll do the inner city. Yes, we want to do, you know, reach out to homeless people. We do all that. But lately I say, God, I don't want to settle for just that. That's like, seems like church thing to do all the time. We do need to do that. But I say, God, give me something big. I want government. I want my mayor. I want to speak to mayor. And my church people heard me. Oh, my God, is this Pastor Bruce? The fob? Yes. And sure enough, I had a chance to meet mayor right after I preached. I got to meet him. I said, sir, I'm praying for you. He's 6'3". He's like, yes, Lord, I'm going to pray for you. And right now, God is opening the door for us. And I tell you, you are right now strategic. God placed you strategically where you are right now and said, now I am calling to be an usher of my presence. Love San Diego. Love UCSD. Love your church. You know, my people just want to pick and go, boom, leave. I said, no, stay back. Stay. And I offended them. They're like, oh, you wrong. Because they're so selfish. They just get what they want, they just leave. When church is in need, they're not there. You're so selfish. And I told them, now you need to stay. Love your church. Thank God they're staying. Even families. I tell you, you cannot raise family in the city of New York. It is. Mm-mm-mm. School sucks. Everything sucks. You know? But yet, families are wrestling to fulfill God's call. And today, that's what I'll talk about is call. You need the call of God to shape your life, to make you very distinctive, especially here in San Diego. When everything is offered to you, you're in paradise. Man, I love Torrey Pine. You get distracted by water, like, oh. You know? And I'm looking at all these people, they look so happy. Everything's provided for them. In the midst of that, God said, I place you here not to just assimilate, even though you have to, but you need to make a stand. But not like you go on top of the, you know, rock and say, you sinners, you. No. God said, you are going to be an ushering of my presence. And when you do that, folks, you will see how much you're going to make a difference. But God's calling you to be very distinct. Not only that, God's shaping you. You know, to God to shape you, distinct you, and not only that, to make a difference. We all want to make a difference. We have a great education. We have everything. We want to make a difference. Yes, God said you will. But you need to hear God's call or else you're going to fall apart. Let's look at Genesis chapter 12. All right? Actually, I'm going to ask you to turn to Genesis 11, verse 27 to 32. Okay? And then we're going to read chapter 12, verse up to 4. All right? Okay? I know originally I said Genesis 12, verse 1 to 4, but we're going to read from 11, 27 to, okay? Chapter 11, verse 27, Genesis. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the daughter of Milcah and Ishka. Now Sarah was barren, she had no child. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, chapter 12. Now, the Lord said to Abram, now go from your country, your kindred, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you of a great nation. I will bless you and make your great name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Amen. We're going to stop right there for a minute. All right? Now, there are three major faiths, okay? Three major faiths that consider themselves as children of Abraham. All right? There's major faith. Now, when you look to Abraham as a father in their faith, when you look at fathers in the faith, when you read this story, you'll be, there's something that's very attractive about his life, okay? Abram, here we see in chapter 11, also 12, the word before he became Abraham. Abram means father. Abraham means the father of many nations. So Abraham means, simply, if I were to put it today, he's a daddy. And Abraham means he's a big daddy. All right, that's what he's saying. All right, who's your daddy? Your daddy, big daddy. All right. So, but thing is, life just didn't happen to Abram. All right, it didn't just happen. He didn't just go with the flow with the events. He lived a big life. He stood against his family, his culture. Not only that, he stood against his society. All right, he stood alone in the midst of pluralism, in the midst of culture pressure, culture constantly dictating at us and shouting at us, preaching at us, say, conform to the pattern of this world, this culture. But he stand against all that. And today, we call men like him, men of vision, but that's not it. What made Abram so great? What made him to be so relevant? Not only that, what made him to be make to have impact and to make a difference is that he had a call of God. The call of God, okay? And the point I want to make it today is this. What makes your life, once again, distinct? What makes your life very special? What makes you set apart? What makes you to make a difference and ushering his presence wherever you go? Clearly, it calls for God's calling in your life. Now, I'm going to talk about three things. So this text, three things about tells about the three calls, okay? Three calls. First, the power of it, all right? If you're taking notes, if you don't, just, sorry, listen. It's cool. Now, every minister, believe it or not, they preach, when it comes to topic of calling, they all go to Genesis chapter 12. It never fails. They're going to talk about calling. You want a calling? Yeah, here's Genesis chapter 12. Come on. So they always preach from Genesis 12, but I noticed there's something prior to chapter 12, which we just read, that really builds up to, now all the more you understand what's going on with Abraham and the nature of that call that took place. Now look, you know, in chapter 11, you know, oftentimes we overlook at the past. We just, it's all about, you know, who lived for many years and have a children, you know, things like that, and it goes on and on and on. Now, what they're telling us in chapter 11, verse 27, is amazing. Because, check this out, all human history is coming to an end. Literally, the redemption plan is coming to an end. Can you imagine that? That means, whoa, wait a minute. You mean the gospel is coming to an end? Because in chapter 1 to chapter 11, if you are a student of the word, if you read it, and I highly encourage you to read it, it's really a down spiral of human race. It's getting worse. As a matter of fact, you know, it's getting more evil, more violent, oppressed, broken, and it looks horrible. No way God can redeem his people through this so-called, I mean, what you see is evil and oppression, just selfishness, you know, there's no moral value. I mean, it's just downright crazy. You know, and there's a chapter, though, there's one ray of hope in chapter 1 to 11. That is, there's a one family named Seth. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, we're told that Seth called upon the name of the Lord. What that means is it's a Hebrew idiom of worshiping God. So there was a one family in the midst of corruption. They call out to God. They were worshiping God. It was Seth. So God still used one family to continue to fulfill the redemption plan to bring the gospel in, right? So he's carrying on. God's carrying this on. And so in Seth's family alone, they acknowledge the true God, and they were preserved, and it was passed on. But in chapter 11, we just read here, verse 27 on. Now, this is the kind of Terah, the father of Abraham, all right? Now, because this verse tells something disastrous, all right? First of all, the word Terah, the father Abraham, the name Terah means moon, okay? And Ur is Chaldeans, okay, was a center of moon worship. They were worshiping moon god. Believe it or not, they were false worship idols. Abraham was worshiping false idol, and I will show it to you later where you get the text. But he worshiped false idol. The whole family was worshiping this moon god, all right? So, and the family that was supposed to carry on the very attribute of God, to carry the redemption plan of God, the family that's supposed, the one who knows about God, acknowledging God, all right? Now, suddenly, what happened? This family, Seth's family, was worshiping God, but now this family is supposed to carry the redemption plan, suddenly worshiping false idols. Can you imagine this right now? Come on, church. Here we are, Kairos. Yes, you are the church that is going to make a turn and switch San Diego apart. What does that mean? Anyway, you know, this is going to just rock, you know, transform the city. And suddenly this church started worshiping idol. They're making fool of themselves. And this is what's happening right now. So, and they're worshiping God, worshiping false idol. Now, how do you know, Pastor Bruce? You can't just say that. Just because you're a pastor doesn't mean you can't get away with that. True. But I will say this to you, and I'll tell you where you find this. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 2 to 3, let me read it for you. Long ago, your fathers, now this is Joshua talking to the new generation, and say, hey, listen, you know, Father, God has been faithful to us. Now you're deserting God, and he's reminding the people again about God. Listen, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river. You see, Joshua is reminding, he's giving us a historical fact. He's saying, listen, the Terah and the Abraham's family was worshiping the false idols. Once again, hello, Houston, we got a problem here. What is that? Hey, this family that's supposed to carry the so-called redemption plan to bring the hope that's pointing to Jesus Christ, now they're worshiping false idols. Oh, Lord have mercy, we're in trouble. Right? Not only that, do you realize what happened here? Not only that, even spiritually, spiritually, right? Last little candle has flickered out. That's what is happening here. Last family who knew anything about God, they just lost it. Not only just spiritually, but also physically. Check this out, folks. We are in trouble now. Look at this. Physically as well, because in verse chapter 11, verse 30 here, all right? In verse 30, what happened? Now, Sarai was barren. Oh, snap-a-rooney. We're in trouble. Sarah is barren. Now, physically, she cannot bear a child. Spiritually, they're messing up. They're worshiping false idol. Physically, now they can't even bear a child. You know what that means? Spiritually coming to an end. Physically, who's going to carry this on now? It's done. We're coming to an end. So there is a barrenness. So it means not only last family that knew anything about God, not only has lost spiritually, now it's about to literally, physically, there's going to be anyone, any more family that's going to carry this. But I thought this one commentator, Walter Brueggemann, made a fascinating, very profound understanding of the word barren. He says this, barrenness is a metaphor, is an effective metaphor for sign of hopelessness. That's so true. And believe it or not, in Israel, that's what happened. All the women, it's amazing. I just shared that with the teachers today with that little service. You know, whenever there's in the most darkest moment in the history of Israel, amazing how God uses women. And it's always a story about barrenness. I said, God, well, can't you use a woman who's very productive? Come on now. Why does always have to be woman have to go through such a hardship and go through such a hard suffering? Why woman only? What about man, Lord? Come on now. Right? For example, Hannah. She has to suffer because she was barren. It was not her fault. It was God who told her, you ain't going to bear a child. Not only that, we see even with Sarah, Hannah, and also who? Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1. Same story. It seems like there's a parallel story with Sarah and Abraham. Zechariah, Elizabeth. Elizabeth can bear a child. She's a righteous woman. But at the end, age of around 80, nothing on there, and she's having a baby. It's drooping everywhere. See, what God is saying, and this is what's amazing. Once again, physically, spiritually, everything is coming to an end. Can you imagine this? This is a dark time. Even in Luke, we find chapter 1, that's a 400 years of God's silence. You know what that means? They were in dark times. Nothing's happening. Yet, God, remember, His promise, His plan will not be a change. And what's amazing is that even in, once again, please understand this, in when even your life, my life, we're going to face darkness. We're going to face, like, literally, Lord God, I'm hitting the wall now. Life is over. You know, there's a lot of guys who are causing all sorts of trouble in our church. But every time, even though there's such a headache, I want to kick them out. Lord, bam! I want to kick them out, but more and more I look at them and say, God, you are moving. That's why even all of you, that's why gospel is all about hope. You, right now, your life probably is saying, God, I am like literally my money, debt. Right now, the collection agency is coming after me. Lord, my life is totally screwed. Listen, God said, I'm not done with you yet. But you got to hear my call. And this is what's happening here now. Check this out. The first, once again, the power call. So the power call means this. The call of God is absolutely necessary, but also absolutely gracious. Now, what I mean by that? Absolutely necessary. Abraham was in the best family. You know, but just the historians and even scholars agree, they were pretty rich, well-off people. But it wasn't until the call of God, he was spiritually dead because, once again, they were just worshiping the false idol and all that. Well, we assume that, hey, they're really a rich family, you know, very righteous, you know, perhaps they were in the line of so-called Seth. So therefore, they could be righteous family. You know what I realize? And this is something that applies to all of us. I have two children, boy and a girl. They're paying right now, teenagers, man. Oh, Lord. Lord, 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 take me home. So listen, you know, right now my son comes to me and says, Dad, every time when we have communion, he goes, Dad, what can I do communion? I want to participate in communion. You know, he's going 16 this year. And I looked at his son, he's 6'1". I'm like, son, you cannot participate in the communion. He said, why not? It hurts me as a dad. Because, son, you don't know Jesus yet. You haven't encountered him yet. Just because you are past the son does not give you right to partake in this communion. And you could just see my son just puzzling, say, why not? I'm PK. I have the privilege. No, you don't. And he wants to take it. I said, no, you don't. You know what I realized, folks? You could be very comfortable right now here. You could say, as long as I attend Kairos, which is awesome church, amen, holla, everybody, come on. All right. So, you know, you can be happy, happy here. As long as I go to Kairos, I'm fine, because he preached the gospel, awesome message, great worship. But if you just become happy, happy where you are, and you haven't received God's call, you are one rotten person right now. You're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to be blessed. You are not going to see a greater transformation in your life. Like, for example, in Genesis chapter 32, we see life of Jacob. You remember, before he became Israel, Jacob was a sly dog. You know what I'm saying? He's a wicked. He is a dirty, rotten scoundrel, all right? Now, just check this out. Until he had an encounter, the call of God, this man would not change. He will remain the same. And what's amazing is this. He could have said to God, God, of course, I'm under Isaac. I am under the covenant, so therefore, I'm safe. I should be righteous. But we learn again, even in the Old Testament, just because you're under God's covenant does not exempt you from my call. God said, I'm calling you. That is this. Jacob was right now, he's, you know, God's now slowly bringing him back, because now God's preparing for the greater call in his life. You're a sly dog, you're rotten, you're evil, but now you're going to be a different man. How does he become a different man? There's a power call coming. How? Literally, Jacob had to lose his family. In other words, he has to push away, Get all the family, the most precious value, you know, something that he holds so dearly. He has to push them away. Not only that, servants, his possessions, his family. Literally, there's one verse in Genesis 32 where it says, he was left alone. You know what that means? That's the call of God. He's saying this, right now there's too many things around you. You are so comfortable. Your family, your finance, your career, your relationship, you're having a great time. You can't seem to hear what I'm calling you. I have a greater plan for you, but you're not hearing me. Why? You are surrounded by all this. And I tell you right now, what God, the way God does with Jacob, I believe he's going to do that with us. It's not going to be comfortable. Surely we're going to see that in chapter 12 as well. Literally, God says, now I'm forcing you to come where you could be alone. In other words, God is saying this. Listen very carefully. He said, I will take away things that you hold personally for God to encounter you in a very powerful way. God is going to remove things that you hold dearly in your life to encounter you personally. And that's calling. And I'm telling you right now, people. Okay, calm down. I'm telling people right now. God is saying, listen, you are too precious to be so caught up with this. I need you to listen to what I'm doing to you. Or else you're going to remain the same. There's going to be just, bottom line, you're going to be so bored. Not only that, there is no meaning. You're going to go, God, is this all there is? You're going to be busy complaining to God rather than say, God, you are good. So God is going to, I tell you right now, young adults, and even all the college students, listen, even married people, listen very carefully. This is a very consistent teaching in the Bible. He will remove things that you hold dearly in your life in order for God to encounter you personally. Get ready. But I tell you right now, we see in the Bible, in the living life of Job, the more you let go things that you hold personally, even though you may think you're losing, but you are gaining more at the end of the day. That's the good news. And I tell you, man, when I was doing the church, I was so nervous. You understand, as a young pastor, I want to do well. I want to prove to Pastor Keith and Pastor Victor, I'm the man. You're not. I could do this. And I'm being feeling pressure to do well as a church. I got to please people. I got to do this. When people leave, I'm like, oh, why are they leaving? You know, I'm doing all I can to get the church move. You know how stressful that is? And I take that home. My wife, you know, I can't even talk to my children. And I regret those mistakes. I'm like, don't just leave me alone. I want to be silent. And my children are like, Daddy. You know, it's so hard. And all the more, God comes to me and says, hey, you're going to see more. And you know how he revealed to me? One by one, people are leaving church. I'm like, what's going on, Lord? I was scared. But God says, in the midst of that, he's preparing me. He said, I'm calling you to be a greater pastor. But the way I'm going to do this, son, I got to take away things that you hold so dearly in your heart. Dearly so much. And I need to remove this from you so that I can encounter you personally. That's exactly what's happening with even Abraham here in chapter 12. Leave your family. Right? So brothers and sisters, right now, listen. God is calling you, Caras. Love the city. Love is, he's saying, but listen, I want you to hear my call first. That is, ready to embrace me. I'm calling you. Why? Because I love you. Because I want to use you. There's nothing too short or too many baggage or laundries in your life. God says, I can take all that. All in his one touch of this, they'll be all gone. And I can use you to make a greater impact. Amen? So, call of God is absolutely necessary. You're going to be so lost. But God said, I'm calling you. Second thing under the power call is there's an absolutely gracious. Power call is absolutely necessary, but it's also absolutely gracious. The call of God is not only, absolutely gracious. Because call of God comes to Abraham who is unqualified. Because nobody of us here is qualified. I'm sure Pastor Peter can testify. I'm not qualified to be pastor. I'm not either. You know, I'm getting too excited now. You know, there's a pastor gathering in New York City. They go around and share, as a pastor, what defines successful church? And these guys come, you know, these guys like have thousands of people, you know what I mean? Some don't. And so we go around and you're sharing, oh my gosh, I kid you not, guys. These guys were kicking good. These pastors, they know how to talk. Then they come on all sorts of programs. I'm like, whoa. And then we're all going, and now it's my turn. Bruce, so what about you? We know about your church. Your church is growing. There's so many. It's Pan-Asian. That's great. Awesome. I said, yeah. So how are you? Like, I don't know. I'm not exaggerating. I literally said, sir, I really don't know. They thought I was being all humble. I'm like, no, I'm being real. I just don't know. And like, okay, thanks, Bruce. Next. Right? To be honest with you, folks, it's not that I can testify to you right now. No way. I can't make it this far. There are times I'm like, God, how in the world I got here now? With 450 people in the city of New York, young professionals, college students, even married people, now people with children. How in the world I mobilized 450 people? It's all God. It was Him who literally said, son, I am calling you, not because you're all that, because it's my grace that is so sufficient in your life. I'm using you. And that's God saying to you, same today, all of you. So God's call is gracious, so important. So God's call is so powerful, all right, that not only you have to have it, or else your life is dead or hitting dead end. It doesn't matter how nice person you are. It doesn't matter how gifted, talented person you may be. The power of God, okay, needs to come. And it will transform you and prepare for greater cause, greater things to move in the kingdom of God here in the city of San Diego. Second thing is this, not only the power of call, but this nature of God's call, nature of call. I will make it real quick and start moving along. So listen, okay, so it's powerful. Then what is it? What is a call to do? And that's a good question. What is the content of the call? Let's look at chapter 12 once again. We see verse 1 to 3. He gives us the content of the call. What is that? First thing, we see here the nature of the call is very radical. And I'll say this. There's three things under that, and I'll go real quick. It's a personally radical, okay? Under the radical nature of call, there's a personally radical, okay? Now, when he says, look at with me here in chapter 12, like Lord, it says, go, verse 1, right? It says, now go from your country and kindred your father's house of the land that I will show you. Verse 2, and I will make a great nation, right? Where are you? Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Verse 1. I mean, this is interesting. Right? And NIV says what? Leave your country. And here it says just your father from your country and your kindred, right? But NIV says leave your country. You know what I did? I looked up the original Hebrew word. And the King James actually says, like, it says this. Actually, the original writing, Hebrew has a two word. All right? It means literally this. Get yourself out. Now, NIV English translation says leave your country, but literally original translation says this, get yourself out. Now, what's the whole purpose of get yourself out? Even leaving your country, your father's household is good enough. That's a powerful message. But why would God says get yourself out? Literally, like, get yourself out. What's he saying? There's very important that we need to learn here. What God is saying is, listen, right now, you remember, God told Abraham, I mean, matter of fact, in chapter 11, they were going down, they were headed to Canaan, but what happened? Along the way, they settled down in Haran, because everybody, all the family members said, listen, I think Haran is great, we got the, you know, land's pretty fertile, and we can just make a living here, our livestock here, we don't have to go to Canaan. God wants us to go, I mean, he wants us to go Canaan, but we don't have to go there. We could just settle down here. Everything's fine. So what happened? Abraham just compromised and settled there as well. But now God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, get yourself out. In other words, Abraham says, whoa, 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 God, my family want to stay here. My church is doing fine. We want to just do the same thing. Not only that, you go out in the working world, you know, the world just says, get along, worship the culture, all right? Worship the beauty, worship the finance, worship the, you know, the way you carry yourself, you know, everything. Just get along with the culture. Forget about your faith. Just keep it private. Just get along. And that's what I'm doing. And what's wrong with that? But God is saying this, no. When I come to you and call you, if you are going to make a difference, not only that, if you're going to be usher of my presence, don't stay in that comfort place. Get yourself out of there. It doesn't matter what your family said. Look, get yourself out. That's what he's saying here. This is very radical. Matter of fact, it's very, very offensive. God, do you not understand we have to obey our parents? Yes, God does say we need to obey our parents. We need to love our parents. But when God's call comes to your life, God says, now get yourself out of there. Even among your co-workers, oh God, I'm getting along. I need to minister and all that. You know, my people says, oh, we need to be relevant. We need to be real. That's great. And you know what they do? They go to happy hour, and you know how they become relevant? Drink six beers and make a fool out of themselves. And I ask them questions, how are you being relevant to them? Exactly. You're not being relevant. You're just being stupid. Right? You're compromising. Listen, I know it's not easy to stand out and say, I'm a believer. My son, oh, precious son. I want him to chase after girls, but he's not even doing that. What? He likes girls, but you know what I'm saying? He's like, mm-mm. You know, I think he's going to be a typical boy who's going to play basketball, baseball. We try to also sports. Like, no, Dad, I just want to love God. I'm like, what? No, try this, son. Try that. He seems like parents are going against him, you know. He's like, but he's the one like, I stand for God. He said, you know, we know what he's doing. During even lunchtime, he doesn't eat. I said, why don't you not eat this? Are we giving money to you? No, Dad, I want to fast. Fast for what? You're tall, 6'1". You look slim, son. You look just fine. You're a handsome boy, just like that. Anyway, you look fine, right? And then you know what's happening with this guy? He's like, I want to fast. I said, why are you fasting? He texts me, God, and texts me and say, Dad, I want to know God. Okay. And he gives me all the Bible. I said, God, I feel like God spoke to me about this. Dad, what does this mean? I'm like, what in the world is going on, right? And he's standing out, and his friends are saying, you're stupid. You're a religious freak. Why aren't you eating? And if God, and they take the dollar bill, right? If God is real, I'm going to drop this dollar bill. And if God real, the dollar bill is still going to stand right here, right now. Right, he dropped. And my son couldn't say anything. He's like, oh. And then he just picked up the dollar bill. He goes, God exists. I picked up the dollar. Anyway, point is, you know, he's trying to stand for God. And little young boy, he's one Asian boy. And they're going at him and say, you. And you know, he's trying to, and I told him, I said, son, let's just move you from that school. You're getting bullied too much. He's getting scarred. I'm going to move you out. As a dad, I can't take it anymore because I told him once, I said, if those guys come to you do that, just do the chop-chop. You know, I taught you that, son. Kill them. Sit on them. Do whatever you can. You know what he's saying? Dad, we can't do that. We're Christians. Like, I don't care. Just sit on them. No, seriously, did not exaggerate. I said, son, you got to understand, I'm your dad, man. You got to listen to me, dog. I can't see my son getting hit, right? And then he goes, Dad, I can't. I said, all right. So should I move you from school? He goes, no, Dad, I want to stay here. I said, why? Because I'm going to stand for God. I'm like, something's not right here. Are you okay? So he wore a shirt, one spirit, one body, one baptism. It's all about Christianity. He's preaching the gospel through his shirt. And one of his friends comes and says, I'm going to burn you with that shirt. I'm going to burn you. I'm going to set a fire on you. And if I was Muslim, I'm like, thank you. Let me change my shirt. He goes, go ahead. I'm like, damn, where does this guy get this kind of confidence? Truly, I believe even God's calling young people, 14 years old right now, to say, son, stand for what you believe. Now, you're going to say, oh, he's so naive. I believe God is preparing this guy, even to now, when he goes out in the workplace, I stand for God. I'm ready to make fool out of myself for Jesus. But you know what? We are all smart people, right? Amen, come on, hallelujah, do all that. Right? We are smart. That means God said, listen, when you go out there, I'm not going to make you look stupid. But definitely you're going to be a man and woman of God who's not afraid to say, God, I am ushering your presence. Ooh, don't let me, I'm getting started now. In Exodus chapter 3, Joshua 5, what we find, the same God says, God says this, take off your sandal for where you're standing is holy. You remember that? Please say yes. All right. Right? Now, Mount Sinai, and Jordan River. Now, Pastor Jordan. Now, Promised Land. Two different locations. Same God, same voice, same message. What is the point here? What is God saying? Listen, I believe already in the Old Testament was pointing to Christ and revealing the very promise. Not only that, The very profound John chapter 4, verse 24, where Jesus says, where the Spirit of God, I mean, God is seeking for those who worship in spirit and truth. You know what that means? That means every single day worship, 24-7 worship is taking place. Why? Because Jesus dwells in us. There's an indwelling of God. That means now wherever I go, whatever I touch, even my conversation with my coworkers, my boss, you know what that means? Listen very carefully. God's saying this, you're going to change the atmosphere. Now, come on now. You're like, what? Literally, God said, I'm going to use you to make even the people around says, wait a minute. Ever since you came to our place to work for a company, things have changed. Executive of Pepsi company came to our church because his daughter comes to our church. And he said this. Pastor, he was listening. I mean, you know, when you see executive, they're just really stern with the, you know, nice red, you know, tie with a little blue, dark blue jacket and just sit there watching me. I'm like, I was like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. So I was preaching, and at the end, he comes, and he goes, Pastor, may I talk to you for a minute? I'm like, yes. So we talk, and he said this, I appreciate what you're doing. I am so touched by your sermon. I was like, thank you, Jesus. And he says this, it's amazing how you are. Right now, you are strategically, this was his word, you are strategically placed in the city to raise next young generation who's going to be a history maker. That was prophetic. Executive of Pepsi Company. And now I find out from him, he says this, I do discipleship in my company. Even in the private jet as he travels with the CEO. CEO asked him, because he's the head of department of Gatorade, and Gatorade was increasing 25% sale. And he was asking him, how are you doing? Ever since you came in, for past 5 years, 25% profit has increased. Can you tell me what it is? CEO is asking that. And you know what he told him? Straight up, because Jesus blessed me. Of course, he was like, whatever. But he got to share. Not only that, in his company, he's discipling MIT, and also those guys who graduated from Naval Academy who went to Harvard for their MBA, and now they're started being discipled by him. And what he said this, he says, Pastor, but you don't have to go around trying to make, just your knowing the Holy Spirit dwells in you. The presence of God is there. And the power of God is there. And you are the usher, the carrier of this presence. God said, I will make you, wherever you go, that place is going to be holy. And I can't say this with confidence. You know why? Jesus says what? Be holy as God is holy. In other words, now you have a very clear purpose and calling. You are to be holy. How? Not because, just like Abraham, you have it all together. Your life is fine. We're all broken people. But we see the power of God is gracious, is necessary, but not only that, it's very radical nature call. And wherever you go, I'm going to make myself known. Just imagine that. So church, be encouraged. God is empowering you. You are worried about your job, and I understand. Please, I understand. My people worry too. But at the same time, God is saying, I want you to know that I am calling you to be a man and woman of God. Wherever you stand, wherever you go, whatever you touch, know that place is going to be holy. All the more, the gospel teaches us the reality. Why? Because Jesus is in us now. Amen? So radical call says, listen, get out of your country. God, I just want to stick around here, you know, just be comfortable. No, say, no. You need to get out. Get yourself out of there. Don't seek to compromise. I know this is something like, oh, man, how come all these pastors saying that? And I know there's a big tension going on, culture and the church. Culture says, do this, worship this, then you fit in. Church says, no, you worship God. There's a constant tension going on. And how do we reconcile this? The good news is this. God said, I am calling you. I'm going to empower you to go. But first, you got to do your part. Get yourself out of there. In other words, what you see is wrong, and you're trying to plug in just to be, you know, get along. But God said, no. Get out of there. In other words, be a man, a woman of God who can make a stand and say, no, I don't think I will go along with what you guys are doing. I believe this is what it is, and I will stand for this. You're going to be mocked. You're going to look so stupid. But that is the reality. And God says, through that stupidness that you think people say, I will reveal my power to you. Right? Not only that, it has to be volitional, radical. When it comes to call of God, it's about surrender of will. All right? It's about surrender of will. You know, just say, God, here is Lord. Here we are. This is how we live our life, right? You know, can I live my life the way I live now? You know, do I stop everything? Do I break up my relationship with my boyfriend, whatever? Oftentimes people, I realize, they come up to me, say, Pastor Bruce, you know, they ask me these kind of questions, you know, what should I do? Should I break up with him or should I break up with her? Should I take this job? Should I do this? God, should I move this? And you know what? Oftentimes as a pastor, I give them an answer. And I feel like, and I realize later on, I say, wait a minute, I am sinning against God. Why is it that I need to tell them this? They are children of God, matter of fact, spirit is in them, and God's calling them. Why can they not answer their own call? In other words, we want somebody to help us to say, of course, that's, you know, nothing wrong with that. But that's the first thing they do. They come to the pastor and ask this question. And I realize now, what you know what I do? When people say, Pastor, should I date him? I say, I don't care. Do what you want. Is this what God is saying to you right now? Oh, they say, oh, I want to take, there's two jobs out there. What should I take? What is God saying to you? You know, oftentimes we're looking for something to lean on rather than lean on God. People, this is what the Lord's saying. You got to hear what God is saying. Once again, it's personally radical. It's volitional. You need to choose to say, God, even though I may not, it may not favor me, but I choose to go your ways. And I choose to, it may be less paying job, but I know, God, you are nudging my heart to say, this is it, that I'm going with this God. I'm going with this. Right now, our church, there's one sister who was offered by Calvin Klein, right? Calvin Klein was offering her, listen, we're going to place you as a manager of men's design clothing, right? And then there's a children place, right, the children clothes. and they offer her position. She said, we're going to place you here as manager of this line. Children place was paying less, Calvin more, and more prestigious, and you can climb up a ladder. She wrestled with this for about 2-3 weeks, and finally she decided, I'm going to take the chosen place, palace. Or is it place? Place. I'm going to go with that company. And this is what she said, Pastor Bruce, I know if I go with Calvin, Lord, I know that God, you know, I know I could be a witness. And I know that I can go with the trend and just really go with the society, culture today. But God says, I need to go to where her pay is like $30,000 differences. Even the package of all the life, the health insurance, all that, it was worse. But reason why she said, I chose this is because God is saying, I want you to now minister to the workers here. I said, why can't she do that? And same thing with Calvin. But she said, this is where I'm going to place you. As soon as she got, she accepted the job, she started working 2 weeks, two weeks on the way. She began to minister to her CEO of the company. Literally, she's beginning to share gospel. She stands, makes it very clear, and they respect her. And she's not afraid to share what God is doing. And right now, God's using her. It's amazing. It's amazing when you respond and just say, God, I will obey your call. Even though it may be less, I'm going to fulfill the call. So lastly, I will close with this, folks. But also, it's not only the nature call is personally radical, volitionally radical, but also it's missional radical, missionally radical. Why do I say missional? Clearly, we see here, it says what? I'll bless those who bless you, right? And not only that, he says this, I will bless you and make you great nation. Now, I'm sure you probably heard volitional, missional a lot, right? But I think here, when God says, listen, you know, when God says to Abraham, get out yourself out. He's going to say, God, okay, I'll come out, but how can I, Lord God, be a blessing? Look at what you're saying to me. I will bless you. I will make a great nation. God, I am small guy. How in the world are you going to make a great nation out of me? God's saying, listen, this is how I'm going to bless you. Unless you get yourself out of there, you will not see the greater plans for you in your life. Unless you obey my call, you are not going to see a greater blessing. People, I'm telling you, when I was down in Melbourne before I came up to New York to start a church, I tell you, I lost everything. I lost my ministry. Ministry was doing well. I was getting paid. And also, I was married to a sexy mama. And then also, I'm going to go to seminary. I got everything. What more can I ask for? But what happened is at the end, I thought, oh, God, I'm losing all. And I went to New York City. I said, oh, my gosh. Within 6 months, I said, this is what I said to my senior pastor that we plant church together, Pastor Victor. I said, Pastor Victor, I hate New York City. These New Yorkers are a bunch of, you know, I don't like them, right? And he says this, you fool. And he rebuked me. Thank God for his rebuke. But I tell you, I thought I lost everything. My comfort, my success was all there. Reason why we are always seeking for the success and security is because, guys, we're afraid to trust this God. We're afraid that God is going to actually bless me. But folks, only way you're going to be a blessing wherever you go, only way the Kairos is going to be a blessing in the city of San Diego, in UCSD, God is saying, get out of your comfort place. Get out of your familiarities. Don't just come to church, God, I just worship him, I'm done, I'm gone. No, God is saying, come to me, long for me more. Not only that, even when you're here in your workplace, he's saying, listen, there's certain things you know very well right now. God is speaking to you consciously. You're doing something that is kind of shady. And God is saying to you, get out of that place. Get out of it. Why? You may think you're losing something, but rather God's saying, you need to come out. And as you come out, God said, then you will be a greater blessing. Not only that, you will find greater security in me. Brothers and sisters, God is calling you, calling Kairos Church. But I tell you, it's a power call. And power call is absolutely necessary right now. Not only that, it's absolutely gracious. Not only that, the call of God has a radical nature of that call. It is personally radical. I tell you, it's not going to be, first, you're going to be very uncomfortable. But more, God's saying, get yourself out of there. The more you obey, you will find greater blessing, greater peace, greater security. We all have fear. No one can say we don't have. I'm all afraid. But more, I get out and say, God, I'm going to trust and move. That's when God bless me. Although I can testify to that. It takes your volitional act as well. You need to surrender your will. I know it's hard, isn't it? But the more you surrender, the more you'll find greater understanding of God. And lastly, missional. It's not for you to just observe everything and say, thank you, God. Woo! And suck it up and just hold to yourself. No, you better give it away. Now, I'm telling you right now, church, you, as God's blessing you financially, as God blessing you spiritually, you better ready to give yourself away. Now, I want you to know, we have millionaires in our church. Woo! But they're so cheap. I have a multimillionaire person, and he collects coupons. I'm like, are you kidding me, man? He took me out for dinner. He took me to a place where there's Chinese food. He said, I have a coupon, and let's go here. You're a multimillionaire, and you're going to take me to this? You're so sad, dog. Right? But listen, God, I tell him, I had to remind him again, brother, God's blessing you so much. You have your own condo in New York City. That's where all the celebrities live on the west side. You live there, man. You live, good Lord, you are the king. And you know what? You are so tight with your money. You are so tight with everything. You don't want to give away. Folks, right now, he's going through a divorce. And I have to say this to you, brother, and I'm going to say this to you right now. Reason why this has happened to you. I know people say, oh, PB, that's wrong. But I really believe this. Reason why these are happening to your family, because you're so tight, you're not giving away, you're not even giving yourself away. And I had to rebuke him. Listen, I know this may say, oh, it's not relevant to me, but I tell you right now, folks, there's a principle. If God, as much as God bless you, you hold that back, don't expect God to bless you more. That is not only about money. Even forgiving, loving. What did God say to us? Jesus said to us, forgive as I have forgiven you. I'm sure some of you are some bitter. You have bitterness issue, whatever, anger issue. We all do. You know what I realize? The more God comes to me, the way he speaks to me, is that, Bruce, forgive that person. He doesn't say, Bruce, you remember what I did on the cross, man? Mm-hmm. You know, would you please forgive that person, please, for my sake, for my cross, so that you will be a good witness and I'll be the man? Jesus said this, Bruce, I don't care how you feel. Now go forgive. It is your choice, son. Go forgive. Because I choose to forgive you, now you choose to forgive that person. God is saying, as I bless you, now go bless others. That's what he's saying. Church, that's what we need to do here. You need to be ready. So God's calling you, Kairos, ready to receive that call. Don't waste your life away by, I'm going to think about my career. I got to think about it. God says, I know all this. Nothing is new to me. But God says, but you got to come. Hear my call. Then all the more I will provide. And you will begin to experience the goodness of God. Amen? Let's pray.